This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, hello New Zealand and welcome to another episode of Turn the Page. My name is Mark Pacey from the Wairarapa Archive. Today we finish off the stories about my holiday in America. So, I mean, they're short and punchy, but like I said last time, there are videos coming, although I don't know when. I have a lot on my plate. Leaving Las Vegas, we flew across to the other side of the country. This was a 5-hour flight, and a decent chunk of that was spent with seatbelts on and getting a bit of a jostle. Each time the seatbelt sign went off, there was a mass exodus of people trying to get to the restroom. And airplane restrooms are very interesting. We landed at 9 p.m. and caught an Uber to our hotel. We had booked a 3-star hotel and we didn't need anything fancy. We would rather spend our money at other places than a hotel. We were staying near the Bronx, real New York. When the driver took us up a side road, we wondered where we were going. Were the cars covered in graffiti and trash all over the sidewalk? Was this right? Yes. There, between two big, dark old buildings, was our hotel. We got in quickly and down the stairs and into the building and into a nightclub. The hotel had a nightclub in its lobby, complete with DJ and that doof, doof, doof music. The hotel room itself wasn't too bad. Small, but everything was there that we needed. The next day we went out for a walk to the nearest store. What an adventure that was. In Masterton, every so often you have to step over dog poo on the footpath. Where we were, you had to step over poo from a much larger, two-legged animal. To get to the city, you had to ride the subway, and this was another interesting experience, but one that was very New York. The prices were really good, and you could see and meet a wide variety of people on the train and in the stations. Some you were happy to chat to, others you briskly made your way away from. There are a few things that I wanted to see here. First, how many yellow taxi cabs would I see? The opening scene of Ghostbusters, they are everywhere. I was so disappointed. Well, there were some there. There were nowhere near as many as I expected. So many use Uber now that their numbers have declined. And speaking of Ghostbusters, I visited the New York Public Library and posed by one of the lions. I also tried a hot dog and a corn dog and was proud to say I didn't get sick from eating street meat. Central Park was also on the list. It's a massive park and I only saw a bit of it. But it was also a great opportunity to use a restroom. You can always tell the tourists because we are the ones that get excited to see the squirrels running about. They are cute little critters and you can get quite close to them. Feeding them is against the rules, though. Keeping with food to try, I had a New York pizza. It was really good. So many choices and the portions were massive. Another experience that was a must-have was catching a show on Broadway. We agreed on seeing The Lion King. This was amazing. I'm not the biggest fan of stage show, but I enjoyed this one. Towards the end of halftime, we heard a bit of a commotion and thought that the show was about to start up again. Well, not the stage show as it turned out. A couple of women in the audience decided to have a bit of biffo. After the show, we had a meal, and I thought I would try a Long Island iced tea, a cocktail I'd heard about for a long time. But like everything in America, it was really big. Then I had to make the walk to the subway, catch two different trains, and then walk back to the hotel, all the while trying to clear my head from the monster cocktail that was muddling my thoughts. Thankfully, I wasn't on my own. We didn't have as much planned for New York, so a lot of it was spent around our hotel. There were shops not too far away, and there was something that I absolutely had to try. Cheese in a can. It's pressurized and comes out like thick whipped cream. Was it tasty? No. It was pretty bad. I put the goo that I didn't eat down the sink, and it got stuck there. I had to ram a straw down the plug hole to dislodge it. What was it doing to my insides? New York was very different from the other places we had seen. Everyone seemed in a hurry. Drivers were perpetually on their horns. You had to walk while looking down at your feet in case you stood in. But it was a great experience. I wouldn't rate it particularly high in places to revisit, but I certainly got some new stories to tell. There was one stop left before coming home, and this was the one I was most looking forward to. We were soon going to go from saying hello to aloha. Right, in terms of the music today, I've gone for a bit of a theme. We're going to Europe to check out some of the sort of gothic symphonic metal that's there. There are some fantastic bands that fit into this genre, you know, quite dark, but you know, they have a lot of symphonic elements, and they generally have really powerful, amazing female singers leading them, and they do such a good job. So we're going to do two. So first we have Nightwish doing Elan, and Nightwish are from Finland. Make sure I get this correct. Yes, they are. They are from Finland. Sing in English, but yeah, amazing song. So this is Elan. and I'm sure I'm pronouncing it right, Elan. It's got one of those little things above the E, so I'm sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, I'm sorry, I tried. Right, last story. So yeah, this brings an end to the stories about my, like I said, my American holiday. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. I loved it. I said there will be videos coming out that will go into far more detail. So, an early rise got us to the airport well before the flight at 9:05 a.m. This was going to be another long flight. 11 hours and 9 minutes. Most of the US had been pretty cold so far, or at least for me. Getting off the plane and into the airport at Honolulu, it was nice and warm. This was a different place. There were trees and vegetation everywhere. We were staying at Waikiki, a tourist-heavy area. It was totally different from anywhere else we'd been. The 7-Eleven stores were replaced by ABC stores, of which there seemed to be one on almost every block. They sold all kinds of food and drink as well as souvenirs and Trump chocolate bars. Yes, Trump has his own brand of chocolate bars. I wanted to go authentic for as many of my meals as possible in Hawaii. I didn't come this far to just have McDonald's, so for my first meal I had raw octopus. It was quite tasty. Later meals followed a similar trend, which included taro leaves and squid. Delicious. It was lovely and warm. I did something that I have not done for a long time and won't do again for a long time. I wore shorts. We did the sights for the first couple of days, jumping on some of the tourist buses and seeing the island. It's a remarkable place, quite beautiful, and there is so much that is still forest and unspoiled. We also took the opportunity to go out for a whale and dolphin watching boat. Having grown up going out in Dad's boat, I was quite at home, wandering around the deck and enjoying the sights despite the swell. We saw pilot whales and two groups of dolphins. No sharks, though. These are protected over there, which is a great idea as shark numbers are plummeting worldwide. Wandering around Waikiki and the beaches was interesting. If you ever want to feel any form of body shame, go there. There are so many bronzed and ripped people walking around bare-chested, all abs and bikinis. I only ever went swimming in the privacy of the hotel pool. There are more public restrooms in Waikiki. They don't seem to have as much of a problem with the homeless people as they do on the mainland. I went into a restroom and the cubicle door was shut and there was someone in there. I could see all their bags on the floor and in there with them. They flushed the toilet 5 times and were talking to someone else in there. The whole time, I got out of there as quickly as I could. We then came to the highlight of my trip, the place that I was insistent on going, Pearl Harbor. We had booked a visit there to the USS Arizona Memorial. The remains of the battleship are still there, and the memorial platform was built over the top. This was an incredibly moving experience to be on that site where the attack had happened on December 7, 1941. Inside, the entire back wall is covered in the names of those that died on the Arizona. 1,177 of them. I took along copies of my Marine Corps book to donate to the memorial. The staff were brilliant and soon put me in charge of the superintendent in charge of the whole facility, who gladly accepted the donation. Several staff members said they were looking forward to reading it. A few more people will now know about Wairarapa. After leaving Pearl Harbor, my next place I had to go was the Punch Bowl, the Pacific Military Cemetery. It was very peaceful. It was raining, so we were the only ones there, and it was a real honor to be able to go there and pay my respects. On Sunday, April 13, it was time to say goodbye to the United States. We were flying home on Air New Zealand plane, and it was nice to hear our accents again. It was another decent flight. 9 hours. I had dry muesli and a glass of whiskey for breakfast. What a great way to start the day. It was a very interesting holiday, and I'm glad that I went. I made many memories and met some great people and filmed a heap of stuff for some later future travel videos. I did miss New Zealand food. I put on more weight in the first week back than I did the whole time we were away. We do the best chips and curry. America isn't just the same. Cool. Okay, time for another piece of music now. And staying in the same theme, we now have Within Temptation, All I Need. And these guys are from Denmark. I only came across this song on the weekend. I don't know if you do it, but if you play YouTube and you have music that you're listening to, sometimes it'll automatically play another song or another video that you might like. And in this case, it got it very, very right. So this is an amazing song. I never heard it before. Haven't really heard the band before, but I could just listen to it in the background. I was like, what is this? This is very, very good. So I'm going to share it with you all now. This is All I Need by Within Temptation. Awesome, awesome song. Can't believe I haven't come across that one before. A great thing about that band, and I was reading about them, trying to find out more who these guys were because they were so good. So the singer and the guitarist, you know, they're husband and wife, and they have a family. When they come together to do albums, they do it together. But when they go on tour, obviously she's the singer, she goes out on tour, the husband stays at home and looks after the kids. Now, isn't that a good guy? You know, there's the full-on rock star life, going out, playing in front of, you know, thousands of people every night, you know, stay home and look after my family. There's not many people out there like that. So hats off to him. What a great guy to do that. So that's the two stories. I think last time what did I banter about last time when I was at the end of my show? I think I talked about the videos that I was going to be doing. I am in the process of just doing the last little bit of editing on the time capsule video. I mentioned that last time, that the Waipoua Lions, it was their time capsule to coincide with their 50th. That was buried out the front of the library. Not many people knew it was there. Like I said, I stumbled across it by accident. There's a time capsule in the front of the library. It took a lot of effort, but we uncovered it and had to clean up some of the records because they got a little bit wet. Again, if you're going to do a time capsule, people, please put it above ground. Put it in a wall. Put it somewhere dry, because you put it underground one way or another, water is going to find its way in there. It really will. I can't. I've been looking up other time capsules that have been found in the past, and pretty much all the ones that were below ground, yeah, they all got wet. So bear that in mind if you've done a time capsule. If you're going to do a time capsule, try and keep it somewhere dry. So that video, see, I've been editing that. It's mostly done. I've got a bit more to do. Hopefully that'll be finished this week. I'll be checking it up on my YouTube. So we'll share that somehow with you so you can check that one out. And then I'll be working on my American travel videos, which will be a bit more fun. Like I said, I'm not too worried about there being absolutely perfect cuts in between them and the narration's all great and, you know, music backing it up and all that sort of stuff. Nah, it's just some, they're going to be some fun videos that we're going to do. So that's what's coming up in terms of the video type stuff. I have basically officially now started work on the next book project, which is on the Featherston Prisoner of War Camp. This was a project that I've wanted to do for a long time. After about 6 months of starting at the archive, which is at the end of this month, I will have been there for 8 years. So after 7.5 years ago, basically, I'd been learning more and more about the Prisoner of War Camp, wanted to find out, you know, more. And it was, you know, it's an interesting topic. You know, how many towns in New Zealand can say we had a prisoner of war camp in our area? It's a brilliant story and needs to be told. So I'd asked around and said, well, is anyone else doing this? Because if someone else is doing this, I'm not going to do it. And no one else was really raising their hand saying, yes, I want to do this, because it's a big project. So I said I will do it, but I'd shelved it. I thought, I'm not going to do it in a hurry. This is a project I want to do to the highest degree. I want it to be really, really good quality. So I'll put that one aside. I'll do a bunch of others. So by the time I come around to it, I'm better at my craft, and I feel now is the right time to do that. And everyone I've talked to said, that's brilliant, I want to read it. there's a lot of interest out there in the Prisoner of War Camp. So that's the next project. I have picked a name. It's a Japanese name. I thought it's only appropriate, we'll give it a Japanese name. But I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I'm checking that I have the right name. So many times you go on Google and go, what's the Japanese word for this or any other language? And it's horribly, horribly wrong. There's some hilarious stories about people who get the kanji tattoos or the Chinese character tattoos, thinking it's something. And once or twice, the tattooist has been a little bit cheeky and he's given them something completely different. And that's just a bit weird. I mean, I wouldn't get something like that done unless I was fluent in the language. We're not going to go down that path and pick this word and call it that and put the book out there only for, you know, a few weeks after publication and spending money and getting it all ready, that a Japanese person comes up and says, this book has a strange title, you know, why have you called it sandwich or apple or something? You know, you've got it horribly wrong. So I know some Japanese people, and I've talked to them and said, you know, is this the right word? Is it in the right context? Is another thing, because you can have the word that means something, but depending on how you use it in the context, depending on how you use it in the sentence, it could be wrong. So I'm being very methodical and very careful about that, because if we're going to call it this, we want to get it right. And I'm thinking I'll do the same thing with each of the chapter titles. We'll give them Japanese names. We'll put a translation under it, but we'll give them Japanese names just to keep that element there. It's not just all English and all about, you know, about us, because it was about them, really. So, and I've already designed the cover as well, so I'm working on that one. So that's the next big project. It's going to be a while. The plan is, like I said, to release it in 2 years' time. I could have it ready in a year, I suppose, but I like having time to do things, and I like being able to relax as well. You know, this last weekend was lovely and relaxing because I didn't really have much on, no films or anything like that. It was great. Haven't had that for a while. It wasn't exactly the nicest weather either. So that's the plan coming up, is those projects. Like I said, we'll keep you posted. We'll let you know also when you can check out the documentary film as well, when that's going to be released online for everybody, so everybody can watch it. Not at the moment. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with other film festivals. There's no point releasing a film online if we're going to then put it in a festival. No one will come and watch it. So we'll see how we go there. Like I said again, we'll keep you posted on that one. We're going to finish up today with another piece of music. Now, this one has sort of a double meaning to it. So, again, it's by my favourite composer, Hans Zimmer. Again, I can't talk enough of this guy. He does an amazing job. This is one of his earlier works. This was just after he won the Grammy or was it the Oscar? I should check on that one. He won an award anyway for the Lion King soundtrack. He did the score for that. Amazing piece of work. He said it was quite an amusing story. It was one of the first instances where he could take his children to see one of the movies that he did music for, because before then, the movies weren't exactly child appropriate. The Lion King, he could again then come back to this one. This one's not exactly child appropriate. This is from the film Broken Arrow and features John Travolta and Christian Slater. I think it was directed by John Woo, so it's nice and big and explosions, and it's brilliant. The other interesting thing about the soundtrack is that it also features in Scream 2. It's quite unusual to have the same score feature in two completely separate movies. When they were making Scream 2, they ran into some problems because they made it very quickly. Scream 1 came out in 1996. Scream 2 came out in 1997. They wanted to get it out there while the interest in that slasher thing was still really, really strong. So they put it out really quick. And like me with some of my projects, didn't have a huge amount of time to finish it off. So they borrowed some of the score of Broken Arrow. So this is part of the main theme from Broken Arrow. And this is the great Hans Zimmer. We'll be right back. So that was the theme from Broken Arrow. It's an awesome 90s action movie. Would I like it when I've watched it again? Yeah, possibly, yeah. Like John Travolta, that was when he was going through a sort of action phase. He did that. He did Face Off and a few others, you know. Brilliant, mindless action movies. I quite like them. So that is me done for the day. And, yeah, we will catch up with you in another week's time. I will have a ponder about what we can talk about in the next one. Now that we've finished with the American ones, American holiday ones, we'll go back to our regular programming in one way or another. I might even see if I can dig up some of my early stories. I've got them stored somewhere. It might be cool to revisit some of them and try and find some that obviously that I haven't spoken before. Although if it's a story that I read 2 years ago, how many people remember that one? But yeah, we'll work something out. So look after yourself, stay warm, stay dry. We will catch up with you in a week's time. Look after yourselves.